Let's just read a portion of the scriptures. I want to just say something briefly. And I don't know whether I will pray or not. I just want to say something briefly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me just start from verse 15. Although where we are going is before that, I'm just looking for where we can get into the flow. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another. And they seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. This was Paul admonishing the Thessalonians. And he said, rejoice always. Another instruction, pray without ceasing. Another instruction, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He now said, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, what I really want from here is verse 17, in which it says, pray without ceasing. All right? Can you turn to somebody and say, pray without ceasing? To cease means to stop. To cease means to discontinue. Which other word can we use? That is, pray without stopping. Pray without discontinuing the exercise. Pray without getting yourself, allowing yourself to be discouraged or weary. All right, again, let's read them. Don't just keep something there, and then let's go back to that one we quote from all the time, Luke chapter 18. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it said again in verse 1, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And then he said, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And then, of course, you know the things that happened in verses 4 and 5. And now said in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Please say day and night. Now notice something. He said his elect, they are supposed to cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? And he said, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That is, the most important thing is faith, all right, in the things that they are doing. The most important thing there is that they have faith in God, and that produces a continual lifestyle of prayer, or a lifestyle of continual prayer. So I was saying that, okay, if you read from verse 9, you see that he began to talk about the basis upon which we pray. Let me just read that just to give you some completeness. And he also told us, let's just read from verse 9. And he also told us this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He said, two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. And the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like the other people. And he described all the evils. He now described the things that he did. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of everything that I get. All right. And then the other man, the tax gatherer, standing away some distance, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord now said in verse 14, and I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, there are two things I just want to bring. Well, two things, okay? A number of things I want to bring out from here, but from the two scriptures we have read, all right, you see something in both of them. One, in that first Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 17, it says we should do what? Pray without ceasing. That we should pray without stopping. I want to just encourage us again, because the more I think about it, the more I realize, and you know, I say it once in a while, that is one thing that we have as Christians. All right? their ability to pray. Do you follow my point? There are times I settle down and I ask myself that I just, in quote now, worry for people. That if you don't go to church, you understand what I'm saying? You're not a believer. Then what do you do when you have trouble? I don't know whether you get my point. How do you handle the difficult issues in your life? All right? Because there will be times you'll be in a very tight corner. Okay? What do you do? I mean, you know, you know what I mean by worry now? I wonder for people, like, if I have to preach to somebody now, it's not to come to our church, otherwise you will die and go to hell. That's not even the issue. The issue that when hell comes upon you before you die, what do you do? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, they say dying and going to hell. Thank God for that, all right? But what I mean is that life often presents hell to you. What do you do? And one guy, the other day, you heard the story, one American man who carried a gun entered a place and began to shoot everybody. You know, in those countries, what we call civilized countries or advanced countries, whatever we call them, okay? One of the jobs that sell the most, all right, is the job of a psychiatrist. Yes. You know the reason? Life has a lot of troubles. Here we have pastors. You go and talk to your pastor. But when they don't go to church, the only person that listens is the psychiatrist or the clinical psychologist. And I think about that young man. Look at the other guy in Norway who took a gun and killed about 70-something people. What is the issue? The simple issue is that pressure comes in life, I'm telling you, and the man does not know where to carry his problems to. So what does he do? He's been watching films and guns are available. So he carries the gun and starts shooting everybody. Now, I'm going to emphasize something, all right? The ability to pray is one of the most important benefits we have as Christians. It relieves tension from our minds. It does. You know, one of the things you must learn as Christians, okay, is Ken Hagin said it then, that the Lord, that he had to repent of the sin of worry. And one of the things you must learn as a Christian is how not to worry. You must reject worry. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. If they tell you what will happen tomorrow, just say, I'm not going to think about it. When I get to that bridge, I will cross it. They say, you are not being realistic. I know. I don't want to be realistic. If I'm realistic, you will make me shoot somebody. I don't know whether you know what I mean by that. I cast my burdens upon the Lord. Don't let life put pressure on your head, though. And I know what I'm telling you. Let me give one of the, you know, did I tell you this gist? when people say that they can't sleep, I used to wonder, why can't you sleep? What's wrong with you? Why are you not sleeping? I used to wonder, why will a woman tell me that he can't sleep? Why can't you sleep? My problem was to keep her awake. I don't know whether you understand what I'm going to explain. Yes. Literally, those days, of course, I was a much younger person. I wasn't married. I just didn't understand any problems in life. If I hit the bed by 11 o'clock, I'm dreaming by 11:05. Do you understand my point? Yes. If I hit the bed by 11 o'clock, 11:05, I'm dreaming. In fact, when I was a student, you know, of course, as a student, you have to read. And I was a Christian leader on campus, so we had a lot of other work to do. But I had a rule. 11 o'clock, I must be in my hostel, you know. Even though sometimes we have fellowship 8 to 10, I will just read briefly. And by, you know, I can't remember for sure now. But, you know, I get to the hostel compared to my classmates and other people who had the amount of work I had to do. I used to get there very early. So one day I got to the hostel. And, of course, by the time I said to myself, 11:30, I'm asleep. When I got to the hostel, 11:30, I was not asleep. 12 o'clock, I was not asleep. 1 o'clock, I wasn't asleep. So I finally got up to do, maybe read something, just read something, lie lying down. Eventually, I fell asleep at 3 a.m. And, you know, I was concerned for what happened. Then finally, I now remembered what happened. On my way to class that evening, I stopped by in one of my friends' room, all right? And they were drinking coffee. Now, I didn't think about it. I just collected. So they were just, you know, just ordinary coffee with sugar, no milk, no. So boys were just drinking. Just pour hot water, put the granules inside, all right, and put sugar, just drink. So me too, I just got involved, not knowing that my system is not used to coffee. I drank it as if I was drinking just anything, you know, like water, a drink, nothing. I didn't think about it. When it was the usual time to sleep, I got up to go and sleep. You understand? I wasn't thinking about it. Except that I laid down and I could not sleep. It was after hours I now realized that, oh God, I drank coffee. I finally fell back to sleep around 3 o'clock. That's not important gist, all right? So what is important gist? This important side of it is that I used to sleep very well. So what are you talking about? Then one day, I would go to bed and realize that it was as if I was drinking coffee every night. I didn't think that this was one. That was 99. That was the year I got married. I was preparing to get married, you know. I was preparing, trying to put everything together. And I wasn't worried. I didn't understand why should anybody worry. I thought. Except I would go and lie down. 10 minutes after lying down, I'm not asleep. 15 minutes after lying down, I'm not asleep. 1 hour after, I'm not asleep. 2 hours, in fact, until I remind myself, boy, you're supposed to be sleeping. That is when I actually start falling asleep. Sometimes it takes 2 full hours. And I was wondering, what's going on? Then it dawned on me what was going on. I was busy. Doing what? Thinking. I would lie down. I say, oh, John is supposed to produce cards. Cards, okay. How will John do it now? I'm supposed to give him 8,000 naira tomorrow. 8,000. Ah, 8. But if you remove 12 from 21, is that 8 or 9? No, but I'm already giving him 3. No. What I'm supposed to give him is 5. Ah, praise God, it's 5. It's not 8. You know? Okay, but even that 5, is it complete? I get up, check the drawer to be sure it is there. Then I did that for a few nights. And I thought I was waiting to fall asleep until I realized one day that that was what was keeping me awake. Listen to this. On the spot. I realized that I was worried. I wasn't feeling bad about it, though. I just realized this was worry. I still remember I said to myself, I said, oh, so this is what they call worry. I still remember very well. I said, oh, this is what they call worry. I wasn't used to worrying. And when I began to worry, I did not know I was worrying. I thought I was just thinking. I thought I was just being responsible. I thought I was just planning. The fact was that I had begun to worry. And on the spot, I rejected worry. On the spot, I repented of worrying. And on the spot, I began to fall asleep on time again. Let's read the scripture again so that I'll say what I want to say. Philippians, remember what we said every time? We said it several times. Yeah. We said what we're trying to do is what? Create habits. Sorry, say it after me. Say habits. Say creating new habits. Yes, you need to. I wanted to repeat it so that we'll be saying the same thing. We'll be on the same frequency. And that's what this prayer thing is about. It's a habit. It's good to have prayer meetings, amen? If you like, you can stay up all night, amen? Okay, apparently most of you don't like staying up all night, so that was all right. But what I'm trying to explain, what I'm trying to emphasize, is a habit. The first two scriptures we read said what? One said, pray without ceasing. The other one said, the Lord was speaking that men ought always. What's the word? What's the word? Always. You see, that's one thing I want to emphasize. That's what I'm talking about today. The issue of without ceasing. You know what it means not to cease? It means never to stop. If you're driving, you're praying. You're in the bathroom, you're praying. You're about to eat, you're praying, you know? You're watching the news, you are praying. You've come for Bible study, you are praying. You are about to fall asleep, you are praying. You are sleeping, you are praying. You are waking up, you are praying. You know, it becomes, your whole life is prayer. Let me say this to you. Most Christians will pray with season. Both by season as in C-E-A-S-I, and then we also pray in some seasons. It is morning prayer. It is night prayer, and there's nothing in between. I have seen sometimes Christians, you know, emphasize the issue that, you know, Muslims are even better than us. They pray 5 times a day. They don't pray enough. If you can pray if you are praying 5 times a day, you're not praying enough. Is that your name? Because he said, pray without what? Ceasing. If you pray 5 times a day, you cease in between the 5 times. If he said men ought always to pray, if you pray five times a day, it's not always, it's some ways. It's certain ways. There are certain times of the day. What am I saying? Five times a day is not good enough. It's inferior to what God is teaching Christians. And you see it again. We just review some things we have said before. Let's just read Philippians chapter 4. I'm not emphasizing something. That's why we are saying all of these things. The alwaysness. You know, I like to invent new words periodically. All right. The alwaysness in the prayer. The unceasing nature of Christian prayer. Let me just read this one to talk about this issue of worry again, just to conclude it. It said that in verse 7. Now let me just read verse 6 so we'll save time. He said, be anxious for nothing. What he was saying, don't worry. Amplifier says, don't worry or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In fact, the literal word there says, which surpasses all mind, that is, people's ability to grasp what's going on. He said, that peace shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, please notice this. What he was saying is this. You will not try to be at peace. I was saying that Christians, all right, you can look up now. I was saying that Christians should reject the worry habit. Are you getting my point? What is the worry habit? It's called, now this is how it manifests. Worry is a spiritual principle, all right? We can only tell it by the manifestation. You want to know whether you are worrying? Let me tell you. You plan excessively. Yes, you think too much. Yes, you're always busy planning, always busy thinking. You want to know whether you are worried? You work 7 days a week, I mean. You want to know whether you are worried? Your phone doesn't go off at night. What if somebody wants to call you? I always say, are you the fire brigade or you are the police? And before GSM came, were people not calling you? Were problems not being solved? You are following what I'm going to explain. Your phone never goes off. It's a sign that you're a worrying man, a worrying woman. You save too much, you know? Every money you have, you're always saving. That saving mustn't go down. You worry. I don't care whether you feel like it or you don't. You're a worrying man, you're a worrying woman. I am saving towards my wedding, you are worrying. Let me tell you, Christianity is hard truth, though. I'm saving towards my car. You are worrying. I'm saving towards my education. You are worrying. Oh, God. Say, Pastor Banky, this one I don't understand. That's why you came. If after you go to bed, intending to sleep, 15 minutes later you are not asleep yet, you have a worry habit. You just don't realize it. You say, I'm just like that. I don't sleep easily. Yes, you are just like that. You worry a lot. You don't realize it, though. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Yes, because worry is a spiritual thing. You know, it's only by the manifestations of it that we will know it. And that's what I'm explaining to you. If you're always peeping to check what is going on outside, you worry too much. Amen? If you always count the number of shirts you have, you are worrying. The Lord is good. If you are always checking your balance, the credit balance in your phone, you are worrying. we'll say plenty today. The Lord is good. Listen. I know it's only one car you have. If you give somebody your car and you are calling him every 5 minutes to see how he's doing, you are worried too much. If nobody can ever drive your car but you, you worry. I don't trust anybody else to iron my shirt. You are a worrying man. Okay. You say, Pastor Mark, what are you talking about? Now you see, are you seeing what I'm saying? See? Yes. And then iron your shirt. What's the worst that will happen? They will burn it. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. By the way, if you see a man that worries too much, a woman that worries too much, don't take their things. The Bible said, don't eat the bread of a stingy man. But I'm not talking about them now. I'm talking about you. All right? I'm talking about... See, he's talking about me. Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me, myself. All right? I'm talking to myself. It's very important. Some of the things I've told you, I do them. And as I'm preaching it, I'm hearing it. Say, have you heard that? You follow what I'm saying? Like, I look out a lot. And as soon as I said it, I realized that, oh boy, you worry too much. That's what it means. If you hear booze outside, sleep. I mean, it's not every time it concerns you. I'm telling you. I'm serious about that. Think about it. You think Jesus couldn't feel the boat shaking when men were running up and down, packing water, and he was still asleep. I don't know where I get my point. You know why? He was not worried. Listen, spiritual things are interesting. It wasn't that he was confessing, say, no, this storm, you won't wake me up. I'm the Son of God. You will not wake me up. As I'm sleeping right now, I shall continue sleeping. He didn't think about it. Now, if you're at that level, do it. Amen? If you want to wake up and say, no, storm, you will not wake me up. I'm a child of God. I want to sleep. Good. But these are spiritual things work. Okay, let me put it like this. This is what I said that will interest. I've given the illustration before to interest you. Now, when I'm at home, you know, I used to wonder why my wife didn't used to bother doing some things. Maybe like it's night now, you want to go and sleep, just to check whether somebody has locked the door, that kind of thing. Or maybe just check whether the kids are okay. You know, some things during the night. I used to wonder why my wife wouldn't even bother. Maybe I hear a child, you know, maybe crying, and I get up and go and check who's crying, that kind of thing. This woman, you don't even hear, you are just asleep. Then one day, so I don't know how I found her. I now found that, you know, the only reason why she doesn't hear and she doesn't do it, you know the only reason? I'm around. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. I found out that the only reason is that this Mr. Husband is there. So unconsciously, she's lying down. And you hear two shots outside, pwam, pwam, in the sleep. One eye will open, check whether I'm there, and if I'm there, she'll close again. That if somebody must check it, you go and check what is going on. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. I forgot how I found out, that the only reason is because I'm there. If I could disappear, you know, I just vanish for a moment, and there was one noise, she would actually get up and check what the noise is about. Please, I don't know whether you're following me. Now, you know what's happening? It's an unconscious thing. It's an unconscious thing that casts your burden upon the husband. You didn't hear that? Cast your burdens upon the husband, for he careth for you, so you go and sleep. In the same manner as believers, when we cast our burdens upon the Lord and we are not worried, unconscious sleep, you sleep more than you will have thought about sleeping. It's not as if you are trying. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, in the case of Jesus Christ, it wasn't as if he was trying to remain asleep and let me show Peter and James and John that as a Lord of the boat, you must be asleep in the midst of the storm. So he closed his eyes, don't wake up. No, he really was asleep. Why was he really asleep? Because he wasn't disturbed. Are you getting my point? He really was asleep. Somebody had to consciously tap him and shake him and say, Oga, wahala there outside now. How come you are sleeping this deeply? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. If we really, now, we read the scripture, okay? And that's how I want to refer to it, okay? When I say the peace of God shall, how did he say it again? The peace of God that passes all comprehension, that's New American Standard, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What it means is this. It's not as if I make up my mind to sleep some more. Are you getting my point? Once I identify that I have the worry habit, this is the antidote for the worry habit. What is the antidote? Continual prayer. I don't know whether I hear what I said. What is the antidote? I said Christians must reject that worry thing. You know, we've talked about the symptoms. Remember the symptoms? How many do we give? Maybe like 15 of them. All right? These are the symptoms. If you discover that you have that worry habit, the way to cure it is not, I shall not worry you. That is the first stage all right, to cure. But the way to cure it, he said, how did he say it again? Be anxious for nothing, but, everybody say, but. What that means is that, you see, I said it to you all before, that the way God does it, if you read through the scriptures, when he's giving instructions and commandments, if he says, don't, look behind, there's always a do. Always check it. If he says, don't, you will just look around, you will see the do. And usually what he says is, do the do, then the don't will leave you alone. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. For example, we say, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. A lot of people are fighting the desires of the flesh. This flesh, I will show you that I am the spirit man, and I will put you under. Under you go, under you go. He didn't say so. He said, walk in the spirit. So instead of looking for how to, like we say, mortify the flesh and fight the flesh and, you know, like they used to do those days, do indulgences, you know. I've heard of sects that they're always punishing themselves. You know, you know, they do it a lot, still, I think in Asia. You'll be beating yourself, you know, injuring yourself. You know why? You want to punish the flesh. There is no way of walking in the spirit that is called beating yourself. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. There's no such way. Say, bring a blade, cut a hole in your stomach, and you'll be walking in the spirit. No. But the cure for walking in the flesh is what? Walk in the spirit. So what should a man do? What should a woman do when it comes to mortifying the deeds of the flesh? It's simple. Look for what it means to walk in the spirit. We're not discussing that one in details now, but it's simple. Number one thing about walking in the spirit is to constantly imbibe the word of God. Number two thing is to need to meditate day and night. That's the way it works. In fact, that's a good place to just connect to the point I was trying to make again. I said, the Lord doesn't just say don't. He always gives you what? They do. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. But what's the next thing? But this is the do. You will meditate therein day and night. What does it mean to meditate therein day and night? To mutter, speak to yourself therein day and night. It is a proper and right thing for you to stay in the house and be doing what they call soliloquizing. Just be talking to yourself. Meditate doesn't mean think. No, thinking is hard. Let me explain what I'm saying. This kind of meditation, you know, as you are sitting down there trying to do your yoga and meditate, you don't say, James never called. You suppose don't call just now. Don't carry phone. They check whether James never called. But if you were talking, it's different. To meditate means to what? To talk. You mutter. You are talking to yourself. So he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate therein day and night. What's the consequence? He said, this is a consequence. You will observe to do all that is written therein. It's a consequence. Again, what's the consequence of observing to do all that is written therein? You will make your way prosperous and have good success. There is a don't. But the don't is only affected by the do. So, what is the don't in this our discussion for today? The worry side. Don't. The worry side. Don't do the worrying. But it says like that. Do not be anxious for anything. But in everything. What did I call it? In everything. What did I say? What did I say? Or what did he say? In everything, from mosquito bites to suicide bombers. I don't know whether I hear that. Yes, it's easy to not worry about flying because you really want to fly and you don't want to crash, amen? But you tend to forget about cockroaches that are disturbing you in the house. Hey, I gave cockroaches as an example because there was a time they worried me and they disturbed me. So, literally, I prayed. The Bible says what? In everything. So, I prayed and said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, why should this house have this amount of cockroaches? Many of you have been to my house. It's a very nice and decent house. It's not overpopulated. In fact, if you were to share houses equally, you know, rooms per head, I think I have more than my share. You know, I'm not explaining. Why do I have... Listen, I knelt down and I prayed. You know how God solved it? Listen to this.
Then I had an idea. I said, okay, let me go and buy. Of course, I bought the normal things. Buy insecticide. I had cans of this, cans of that. Okay, somebody said, okay, go and buy powder. This white powder and sprinkle. And the day I wanted to do the white powdering and sprinkling, Yinka happened to come to my house that day with Tolu. And Tolu happens to be either an entomologist or zoologist or one of the above. And he happens to know cockroaches very well. He just said to me simply, ah, he just looked around. He said, ah, they must be coming in from the soakaway or something like that. That's really where they hide. So like the summary of all this one you are doing, spraying this, you are just seeing the ones that have come out. The real substance is hidden. In everything. Somebody say in everything. It's not only in big things. It's in everything. Literally everything. There are times I see maybe those days when fuel scarcity used to be an issue. You understand? I just didn't have some kinds of patience. I didn't have it. To go and queue up for 4 hours in the filling station. So why don't you park the car and take a bus? I mean, 4 hours? No. How long will I drive the fuel that I use 4 hours to buy? I said, I want to buy. Say, in everything. And we'll pray about fuel also. And the Lord always supplied fuel. Let me say something to you again. You know, I told you before that Ken Hagin said something that the Lord said to him that Christians don't pray, they complain a lot. Yes, they don't pray. Most of the times, what do? They complain. You know, there was something the Lord Jesus said that when we were reading. He said that Luke chapter 18, right? All right, in verse 8, he said, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Anyway, that's what this whole teaching is about, to build up faith in the hearts of people. Let me say it again. God can heal all kinds of diseases. Did I hear an amen? From mosquito bite to cancers. Did I hear an amen? Yes. From simple allergies to serious neurological degenerations and malignant neoplasms. You're looking for big words to make things sound difficult. That's the idea. Just to let people understand that God can tackle everything. You know, let me tell you another thing about prayer. Sometimes we pray when we think we can think out how it will work. But that's the kind of what prayer is. Prayer is to be sure that we are not sure how he will do it, but at least let us commit it into his hands. If he brings ideas on how he will do it, fine. I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. He said, pray without what? Ceasing. You know, I said something to us before. Life is a battle of what? Words. Life is a battle of words. Like I said earlier, on Saturday I'll begin to, if I had to restrain myself from not preaching that thing today, so we can do it in a proper series and have it recorded so we can put it on TV. All right? Talking about this issue of I'll title it Understanding the Prophetic. All right? What I want to preach in that, okay, let me just give you a small preview. Because I read the scriptures. He's laughing. I read the scriptures, all right? I used to study the prophets a lot, all right? In recent years, I take time out and study the prophets, you know? Isaiah, Jeremiah, then Ezekiel, and all those, Daniel, Hosea, Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, you know, all of those people, you know, down to Malachi. And recently I began to get confused. You'll be surprised. Total confusion. And my confusion was worsened by what I see a lot of my brethren preach on television. A lot of our brethren from North America. And the political side of their Israeli relationship affecting the doctrinal output of the church. Or I don't know which was affecting what. Anyway. But something just happened recently. I understood something again. That even the prophecies of Isaiah, all right, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that they declared, which appeared like certainty, that people so try to ascribe to what's going on in Middle East. I realized that the song the Bible says, the word preached does not profit until it is mixed with faith. I don't know whether I hear what I said. That the word preached does not profit until it is mixed with faith. And I realized another thing. Listen to this. What's the other thing? And that's the fact that he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. That is, the word preached came to the people that it appeared directed to, they did not receive it. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power, I'm paraphrasing now, to inherit those promises. You know what I found out? Don't be deceived. Somebody read something for you and say, Is it Ezekiel now? Jeremiah, sorry. Isaiah said this about Judah, about Jerusalem. And then he points to the land they are fighting over. You understand? Between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Don't worry your soul. You know why? He can read it from now till tomorrow. Until those who want to claim it, that land, claim that prophecy, it's ineffective. And because as a nation, they reject, people don't understand that those guys rejected those prophecies. As a nation. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, even though he's in Enugu, or she's in Abakiliki, or is in Lusaka, are you getting my point? Or is in the Monrovia, wherever they are, including the heart of China, those words will form manifestations around them. So if you read that the desert will yet blossom, that is talking about your life. It will yet blossom. Even though it appeared to have been directed again at a strip of land somewhere in the Middle East. I don't know whether you get my point. Man, the thing is true, because for a while I've been watching and reading and trying to contemplate. Then the Holy Spirit just let me understand, oh boy, look this way. The word preached never profits until it is mixed with faith in them that hear it. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I'm saying something here, all right? And this is why I went into that. And that's the fact that when we're talking about praying without ceasing, one of the things I'm going to discuss is the issue of prayer in bringing forth prophetic words to manifestation. Poor Jonah. That was what I discussed in that message. Please, listen to this. You know, life is what? A battle of words. And this is what I'm talking about. If God gives a prophetic word like that, it's a plan. Somebody say it's a plan. It's a desire. It's his will. But Jesus had to teach, pray like this, thy will be done. If it was going to be automatic, are you getting my point? That prayer would not have been necessary. I don't know whether I hear what I said. If the will of God would have been done automatically, then the prayer would not have been necessary for him to say, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Believe me. And we'll talk about that later. I'm just going to bring out the issue of continual prayer there. It's a battle of words. Every time, if the Lord stirs up a desire in your heart, or something you find from the recorded word of God, or the nation, circumstances around you, go in a direction different from that which you believe, all right, is the will of God, or which is the deep desire of your righteous heart. Do you follow? Now listen, I've said this many times. He said men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. What does that mean? When they start praying, the effects don't always show up quickly. And that's why he had to tell them not to lose heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let's put it like this now. So that prophetic word is what you desire. What do I mean by that prophetic word? That ideal life, ideal situation where things are not going wrongly. You are not falling sick recklessly. The things that you are putting your hands to do, they are not being destroyed. You understand? You are prospering in all that you do. And that's what the word of God says. The word preached, don't forget, has to meet faith in their hearts before it profits them. So he said that in all that he does, he prospers. That's the word you are trying to lay claim on. One of the things he's saying is this. Every time, everybody say every time. Every time you meet challenges or opportunities or difficulties or discouragements or encouragements in life, every time you must utter a word of prayer about that prophetic word or that situation you intensely desire or against the one that you don't like. Are you getting my point? Pray without what? Ceasing. It's a continual thing. It is what? A continual thing. You know, it's good to take time out to pray. All right? Especially, in fact, for me, that often is required when you have to make decisions. For example, maybe Kingdom World Ministries. I need to get direction and say, what are we doing? What are we supposed to be doing? Do you understand? Yes, it's good to take time out. Relax. You know, wake up in the morning, take two slices of bread and a cup of sugar and water or a little bit of milk or something liquid to wash it down and start the fast. Amen? I mean it. I'm serious. I'll keep on saying it until people start practicing it. So, Pastor Bank, when you want to go on fast, you shouldn't eat anything. That's a lie. If you want to read the scriptures and pray and meditate, eat something. Hunger is going to be a distraction to your soul. You know, I've been saying it. I hope you are believing it. Well, you, since you won't believe it, those somebody else will believe this, who has not been corrupted by too much religion. Don't fry an egg with baked beans and sausage and Quaker oats. You understand what I'm saying? Or with okpa. Ah, gee, that one is really risky. Those ones will weigh you down. I'm talking about a little bit of glucose to keep the spangs away. It's good. Go and read Daniel. It is good. Then you settle in one corner and put off that your weapon of mass destruction. I was listening to, who was saying it now? Where was I listening to this? Was it here? That they said John Hagee refused to buy a GSM phone. Where was I listening to it? Was that last week? Where? Israel? Were you there? Okay, maybe it was the church I went to preach. Said John Hagee refused to buy a GSM phone. That's a mobile phone. So if you want to get me, you have to get me on the seat or in the house. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't. If you're in Nigeria, there's no phone in your house or on your seat. It's only a mobile you have. I'm just trying to bring an issue. So you can afford to put it off. The world will not come to an end because MTN, Glo, Etisalat, or Airtel, they are not receiving your signals. You get what I'm saying? Then you settle down at that time. There's no magic about it. I have found out. You know, each person has his way that he's used to. You understand? Like David. David knew how he was going to tackle Goliath based on how he's been tackling the bear and tackling the lion. Do you understand that point? All right. So you should know. Some people go there and start pacing. If you like to pace and run up and down, fine. What works for me personally is I take a book, I take a Bible. I can walk up and down to keep myself alert and concentrated, all right? And I read. Sometimes I just pick a book that doesn't even look like it's addressing the matter, a book like maybe a book on the second coming of Christ. Once I focus on that which is spiritual, are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's how I get the connection. Then I start thinking about what I'm thinking. Because if you go and read the Bible, you see that the Bible says that Moses, when God saw that he turned aside to look. Are you getting my point? God had to attract his attention. He said he turned aside to do what? To look. That was when he spoke. He used that burning bush to make him turn aside and look. You go and read when Daniel was interpreting the dream also for Nebuchadnezzar. He said, while you were in your bed, your thoughts went towards those things that will happen in the future. Then God began to reveal them to you. You understand my point? God often has a difficult time revealing things to you that you are not turning your mind towards. So, when bush starts burning, we'll talk about it maybe another time. When the bush starts burning, when the ministry is having problems, when the business is having issues, are you getting what I'm saying? When the marriage is doing like this, When the boat is shaking like this, your car is breaking down every other day. And this is a car you used to do business. It's called bush burning. Tell your neighbor bush burning. You are not dead yet. That's how I know it's bush burning. The business has not collapsed yet. That's why I know it's bush burning. Just that sales are not good. That's bush burning. Then, that is the time to do what I'm saying. Let me say it again, so you can know I'm the one that said it. You don't need to be hungry. Excessive hunger is a hindrance to the spirit. Most of the visions you have at that time is called hallucination. Hunger is what is, I'm telling you, hunger is what's making you, that's why you come out, you are more confused than before. Listen, when you are hungry, you see things. So. One day we're discussing these things. One boy was telling me there's a time they used to fast a lot. That time, he used to see things. I said, my brother, come. Don't be deceived. Don't tell me it is God. It's not God. Tell your neighbor it's hypoglycemia. Those who have medical link, then you know what I'm saying. I'm warning you now. Don't spend time rebuking the hunger. Just take a cup of, you know, some people don't eat breakfast. It's good. If you don't, fine. I'm not saying you're going to eat by force. The type that normally eat breakfast, and your breakfast normally is okpa with moi and beans. That one is risky. Some people eat all kinds of funny things. And they'll tell you, try it. Why should I try it? I should try what? Okpa with moi and beans and egg. What kind of? Let me try it. I'm not trying to forget it. That one is guaranteed to send you to sleep. So if you are the type that normally things like that, no, stop it. That one is not good. What I'm trying to say is this. Let me say it again. What you need is that turning aside to look. Do you understand my point? It is not the beating of the flesh into hibernation. No. You are not subduing the flesh like that. No. What you need is something that will help you concentrate. You work in an office where they work morning till night, take a leave. If somebody died now, you take casual leave to go for burial. If your boat is burning, also take bush is burning, also take casual leave to find out what to do. Are you getting my point? Hey, I don't know why I'm just stuck on this. I was supposed to just dispense it quickly, but I'm sure you're enjoying it. So let's just continue teaching it, all right? That's what it is. If you can take casual leave, say, my uncle died, you are going for funeral, you should be able to take casual leave. After all, this is how you write it, for pressing personal issues. Is that not what they write? To have direction in your life is more important than to have your uncle buried, because at that burial, you're not the only person. After all, your cousin in America did not come. Did he come? It's true. Sometimes the man's son himself, he did not show. You that's in Nigeria now want to die because of it. If you can go for that barrier, you can also take that one day off to find out the direction for your life when your bush is burning. All right? I know when I went into that, but I hope I've dispensed of it so that's when you really need this. I need to take time out. You need to have direction. Why? Bush is burning. You're not trying to kill the fire. A lot of times Christians were so emphatic on killing the fire. And let me say it again. You know, today I call somebody today. You get some color tunes when you go here, you go laugh. I call one guy today. You know the color tune we are here? You know there are all kinds of color tunes. There was I will vote for good Lord Jonah, that one. There are all kinds of, I hate color tunes. When they start singing, I put it away. Say, I don't want you to put the music in my head. You know, when you put the phone like this, the music just entering your head. I don't like it. Once I see you use color tune, when I call you, I carry the phone away like this. I'll be staring at the screen. When the thing starts counting, I know you have answered. This one I will put on for here. What thing I hear? Everywhere where they carry your name, go, they go lost. I hear amen. I said, he said, people that are carrying your name about, they will lost. See the amen. Whenever they call your name for evil, they're not going to speak again. My God, that is the hottest color tune I've heard in recent times. So the Lord is good. A lot of our people, that's what we like. We want to kill the fire. The bush is burning. We want to kill that fire. We don't turn around to investigate why the bush should be burning. All the fire burning in this bush. Holy Ghost water against you. Quench. Sometimes pause and ask yourself, since this in this office, they've been troubling me in the last 1 month. I have not been sacked. That is, this fire has been burning, but I have not been consumed. Do you get what I'm going to explain? This business has not been doing very well over the last few months. But at least we have been paying staff, and we have been able to keep ourselves afloat. What does that mean? This fire is burning, we are not consumed. Instead of going to, you know, I've told you, nobody is pursuing you. I'm sorry I have to keep saying this because I've seen too many Christians who people are pursuing, that they think people are pursuing them. Nobody can pursue you. Did I hear an amen? I'm not saying everybody likes you. Did I say so? In fact, I know 15 people that don't like you alone. I don't know them really, but I know there are more than 15. As for me, there are more than 1,000. So how do you know? For every place they broadcast your messages, there should be at least a few people that don't like the sound of your voice. So I didn't say everybody likes you. Did I say so? But I'm saying whether they like you or not, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? What happens? I fear no evil. So forget all of these ones that people are pursuing me. I don't know what is happening. When your bush is burning, what do? You turn aside to look. And how do you turn aside to do what I'm talking about? Take some time off. Go to a corner. Take a few days until you have understanding, until you have direction. I mean, I've been talking to Israel and Yinka and a few people about Kingdom World Ministry. That look, I will say something that I'm suspicious about, that I'm not happy about. I'm feeling one kind about this. Not like any devil is pursuing me. I just know that I have to change direction. I have to make some decisions. I have to do some things. And you are not supposed to be rash about it. Okay, when Bishop Oyedepo had this issue, this was what he did. It's your name, Bishop Oyedepo. You know who even made you bishop? You're getting what I'm trying to explain? That was his own issue. He may have told you the testimony. This happened and I did this. You go and find out what you are supposed to do. And the only way, there's no book about it. Though. That is when Christians fast, and that is when they pray and fast to, you know, waiting upon the Lord like that. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I went into that down the explain an issue that there are times we take time out, all right, to the issue of time out now to pray. But let's get back to what I was saying, the issue of praying without ceasing. Now, beyond those times that is necessary, most times prayer is on the spot. I don't know what I said. Prayer is when? On the spot, there and then. Some believe that unless you are hungry, it's not efficacious. Listen, it is efficacious because it's not by your power. Amen? Some of this, I must fast before I pray thing, is flesh. What did I say? It's flesh, it's self-righteousness. I fast before I pray. Is that not in the scriptures there? You see it? This problem, bring them back later. Why? I just chop finish and I'm pandayam. You know, that kind of prayer, not the cross roof. So what do I do, Pastor? Say, just go. When shall I come back? The doctors say it takes about 2 hours for the stomach to empty halfway and then fully empty. Okay, just 5 hours. I should be hungry by then. The Lord is good. Tell your neighbor it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Let me say it like this. Hunger does not improve the potency of your prayer. Did you hear what I said? It doesn't. What I'm going to emphasize is this, is pray without what? Ceasing. Men ought always. It sounds funny, but you get home, everybody's being beaten by mosquitoes. Are you the only one in the neighborhood? Even if you are not the only one in the neighborhood, even if it's biting everybody, must it bite you like it's biting everybody else? If it's enough to concern you, it's enough to pray about. If you like the mosquito, say, over Anofele, you don't come. Then don't pray about it. You know where Anofele is. you get a nickname, Nana, your friend. Anof. You know what I'm saying? If he's not your friend, if he doesn't, you don't have a nickname and no fellow for the guy, then it's enough to pray about if disturbing your soul. I am serious. The Lord will give you wisdom on how to solve it. Don't just get used to something that is bad. You know, no, once it's January, no, I always fall sick. You know, the dust at that time, it worries my brain, my sinuses, and the back of my neck. Don't worry, it will soon pass. The Bible says men ought always to pray. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. If it disturbs you, if it's enough for you to notice about it, for you to be concerned about it, if it's enough for you to notice, then it's big enough for you to pray about. Why people don't pray about a lot of things is that they think they have to go and take time out. See, if you have to call fasting and prayer for family for 3 days because of mosquitoes, when are we going to handle the witches in the village? So it's okay, let's live with the mosquitoes. Then we'll use the time for more serious things. But if they understood that, no, it's not like that. Right there on the spot. Do you understand my point? Right there on the spot, you pray the kind of prayer that is necessary. Bombings in Nigeria, let's not forget that. I said it's a war of attrition. We said this some time ago. Let me say it again. When we're reading the story of Elijah, no, not Elijah. Is it Elijah? Elisha now. My father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. It's Elisha. When he died, he told the king, strike. And that one struck the ground how many times? 3 times. And he now said, why didn't you strike 5 times or 6 times? Then you will have defeated Aram until you have consumed it. And I said, then what does that mean? If Israel had fought Aram, of course, he said, the Bible basically is on record that they fought Aram 3 times and they won 3 times, but Aram still got up again. That's Syria, all right? He still got up again. What the prophet was saying is that if you win the victory enough number of times, it will come to pass that problem will not arise again. Let's read that scripture just to get it clear again for those who are wondering what we're talking about. 2 Kings chapter 13 from verse 14 says, when Elisha became sick with his illness with which he was to die, Joash the king of Israel came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the windows towards the window towards the east. And he opened it and shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram of Syria, for you shall defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have consumed them. Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it 3 times and stopped. So the man of God was angry. Verse 19. And said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you will have struck Aram until you will have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only 3 times. Now this point I'm trying to make. You see, what he was saying in effect is this. There's a certain number of times required to strike Aram before you can totally destroy it. Do you understand the point? We discussed it before. I just want to add it to what we're saying today. All right? Certain number of times. If you strike Aram once, would they be destroyed? No, in this context, would they be destroyed? They'll be defeated, but they are not destroyed, which means you have to fight them again. If you strike them a second time from this context, would they be destroyed? No, they'll be defeated, but they will rise again. And this will happen a third time. If you win a third time, you also have to fight a fourth time. And what, using the words of Elisha, you will have to fight about 6 times, 5 or 6 times, before you will not have to fight again. Tell your neighbor, pray without ceasing. Even if the problem comes back. Do you get my point? That's it. You keep on praying. Because what happens? People get discouraged. Men ought always to pray and not get discouraged. You fought Aram once. And that day after that prayer, you were very happy. You knew everything was okay. And then you got a phone call 3 days later and things are not okay. So you think the prayer was not answered at all? No. Aram has just risen up again. And what's Elisha saying? Knock him down again. Do you get the point? I'm not emphasizing the issue of continual prayer. I remember I said it then that my wife and I were discussing this in the house. And my wife said, how would the king, all right, how would Joash have known that he was supposed to strike 7 times or 6 times? And we reasoned about it and said, okay, simple. There was no way of knowing that it would have been 5 times or 6 times. So, next time you are told to strike, start striking until they tell you to stop. He said, strike the ground. Why did he strike 3 times? It means that Elisha did not say strike it once. Did Elisha say strike once? That's why he struck 3 times. He said, what Elisha must have said, something that implied continuity. He said, yeah, oh boy, begin. So the guy strike, he look, he strike, he look. He strike a thought and say, oh, guy, that one don't do. You know you are sick. You're about to die. Let's talk about something else. The guy said, you don't stop. He said, I don't stop. Hey, why? What does that mean? If you are told to strike next time, keep striking. The man that says start, if he doesn't say stop, don't stop. In prayer, then what does it mean? As long as Aram seems to be rising, we keep on knocking it back down again with prayer. They have a saying in my part of the country. I don't know whether you know these African proverbs, they're everywhere. So you may have something like that down here too. You see that if the lice do not finish on the head, the blood does not finish on the nails. You know what that means? Those days, you know, the idea that when the mother will pick it from the child's head, those are very tiny. So they tend to kill it with the nails. If you crush like this, it wouldn't die. You crush it with the nails. And because they suck blood, they only have blood on it. So they have a saying in my place that as long as the lice are still there on the head, the blood will continue to be on the nails. You won't say that we have stained the nails enough. We'll stop killing the lice. No. As long as the problems seem to persist physically, the prayers continue without what? Ceasing. And that is a habit of Christianity we are trying to talk about. Christians are not allowed to grumble. They are not allowed to whine. They are not allowed to murmur. I don't know what's wrong with this CBN. They cannot even stabilize the dollar. You know, the dollar is beginning at the naira. The naira just fluctuating against the dollar. And the dollar is moving against the pound. And then the pound has begun to move in the yen. The yen has not come to affect the naira. Naira. Today, 165. Tomorrow, 162. How come it's 159 now? The next thing now, we know it's 155. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ or Guru Maharaj? Make up your mind. Are you getting my point? Christians don't whine. Did I hear an amen? They don't grumble. Their words are witty. And, you know, you can imagine you have a bodyguard. It's going on the road. He said, okay, wait. Waiting. Rat. He pulled a gun. Pwah! Shoot at the rat. You go look at the guy and say, are you all right? So God, that was rat. This rat, they can kill it. They can kill it. They can spoil grass. They move after some time. So God, wait. Boom! Shoot! Butterfly. You have the guy sacked on the spot. Before you go and injure me. And that's what we do. The weapons of our warfare. Amen? That's what we do. That's what we are doing. Say, oh boy, this country now, wow. Just take bullets and be wasting it. Anyhow. Can you believe it? Believe what? I heard that in those states now, Labour Party, 10,000 AC people and PD people moved over to Labour Party. What's your business? I don't know what the country. I mean, the state is becoming a one-party state. This Boko Haram, the president does not even know what to do. Now he has appointed this other man. What is your problem? The first lady is now a permanent secretary. Hey, what is going on in this country? Praise the Lord. For us believers, it's not everything we comment on. And when we are going to speak about something, let's be careful what we say. Let me say it again as I close. There are words that must never come out of your mouth. You are not allowed 1 moment, 1 minute, listen, to insult the president. It's a sin. His vice, you are committing iniquity. The president of the Senate, you are not allowed to speak evil of him. You are not allowed. the governor of the state, you are not allowed. There are technical ways which are good and godly ways of expressing your discontent. This is our president. We'll pray for him. In Jesus' name, he must do what is right. You're not happy? But you notice what he has said. You don't condemn. Are you getting my point? Listen, you shouldn't shoot at the person you are meant to protect. We're talking about bullets just now, right? It is wrong for you. The Bible talked about watchmen upon thy walls. It is wrong for them to fire their arrows at the people they are supposed to protect. Do you get what I'm saying? You have been appointed a protector of the leaders in the country. If you see me defend the president sometimes, you think we have a personal relationship. If I don't like the people he's appointing, you understand? I will pray about it. That's my duty. Why has he not sacked Desiani? Why has he not sacked Desiani? If I think he should sack Desiani, I'll go and pray, Lord, don't you think that woman should be sacked? Alright? If she should be sacked, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give wisdom to the man that's supposed to decide whether he's sacking her or not. And leave it there. If she's not sacked, you know what that means? It is the will of God. Now he has given the national security advisor post to Buhari loyalist. Do you know what that means? I will tell you what it means. It means the end of Boko Haram. Stop soothsaying like Philistines. One of the things that will mark you out from today in your office, when it's government matter, you know they talk again. When people are criticizing, I mean. I don't know what these kind of stupid people that we have all over this country that they call leaders. You know why? You are a bodyguard. You are not allowed to shoot at the people you are supposed to protect. Do you think the people around Nigerian president or American president, think they all agree with him? Those guys that wear dark bones and wear long, you know, those they are trench coats and carry small Uzis under the, you know what they call Uzi? Those guns that they are small but wicked. Those guys, you think they all agree with him? They don't screen them to find out whether they agree with his policy. No? Whether you agree with his policy or not, you protect him against his enemies. And if somebody were to attack him, even though you don't agree with him, you will have shielded him with your body, pushed him into the armored car, and return fire before you disagree, before you check whether you agree with the last policy or you don't. In the same manner, Christians, that's the way we are. It is not whether I agree with your policy or not, or whether I am a member of PDP. Or I'm a member of AC. The issue is that I'm a bodyguard. Are you getting what I'm saying? Spiritually speaking now. And my weapons are what? My words. I don't shoot at you with them. I shoot at your enemies. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are mighty through God. So, we are talking about weapons of what? Of prayer. So, the president does not know what to do about Boko Haram. How do you know? Number one. And peradventure, you were right. What are you supposed to do? Pray the wisdom of what to do about Boko Haram into his head. You see Christians gather and insult presidents? Listen, no, I'm not bragging as Mr. Righteous Man. As far back as the days of Abacha, I did not speak a word against him. In fact, the day he died, I quarreled with my friends for rejoicing. And God in heaven is my witness. I knelt down and prayed for the country for rejoicing that Abacha died. Because it is forbidden from the scriptures, you rejoice such stupid rejoicing. What happened when Saul died? What did David do? He killed the man who lied that he was the one that killed Saul. No, that guy was lying. He wanted cheap reward. David said, your own mouth has testified against you. Fall on him. The one fat guy must have been there. That's a joke, of course. They fell on the guy with the edge of the sword. And they smote him with the edge of the sword, like the Bible says. And David declared mourning. And he rewarded the people who took care of the body. This was a man pursuing him around, wanting to kill him. He said, what? He's the Lord's anointed. There was no rejoicing. If you rejoice in his camp, those guys will behead you. He now began to lament. Thy beauty, O Israel, is slain upon the higher places. How are the mighty fallen? Remember that? We have to memorize the whole thing, the days of Bible, not BK, those days. Now called CRK. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughter of the Philistines rejoice, and lest the daughter of the uncircumcised exalt. And remember, I'm telling you, this was 1980. This one I'm giving you is from 1981. I'm serious. But that was when David composed it. Thy beauty, O Israel. Why? Because an anointed man just died. This was his arch enemy. A man who, listen, Saul was not plotting against David. He was throwing javelins at him to his face. Listen, you are walking by, your boss cocks a gun, aims at you, and shoots. That was what Saul did to David. But he refused to strike him. And when he died, he refused to rejoice at his death. And there is a commandment in the scriptures, the book of Proverbs. He said, don't rejoice when the Lord is judging your enemy. That if God sees it, he will stop the judgment. That is, the man who hates you suddenly falls sick. He's about to die. And you know once he's dead, your promotion has come. You now start shouting, God of miracle, now my papa. The man will go recover next day. Wah! When you come to work, you now ain't going to sing, God of miracle. You go, look, Oga, are you all right? Yes, I'm okay. The angel of the Lord came to me yesterday and said, I've been forgiven. You will go back home and say, Lord, what happened? He said, you were rejoicing. I want you not to rejoice. That is, you are not supposed, the Bible says that God does not delight in the death of the sinner. So the righteous man must never delight in the death of the sinner. People say, but the Bible says that when the wicked perish, people rejoice. That's like saying everything that goes up must come down. It's law of gravity. It's a natural thing. You know what I'm trying to explain? I hope you get the point. That is, if a wicked man dies, people will rejoice. It's natural. It's not a commandment for the people of God. It's describing a natural response of human beings. And even though you hear us pray sometimes and we speak judgment against the wicked, it's because it is written. I don't know whether I get the point. You see, there are scriptures that declare judgment against evil people. We have no choice but to follow. But it does not mean when one man, especially who's a leader in the country, now that you now start. No. When I remember very well, my friends and I, we quarreled. There are times I walked out of arguments with my discussion with my friends that this is nonsense. Because we were rejoicing. That Abacha died. I said, are you people out of your minds? This is the president, the head of state of the country. I'm not saying he was a good man, but many of you are worse than him. You don't realize it. But most importantly, there are things that are fitting for children of God. They are supposed to lament. They are supposed to pray for the family. They are supposed to pray for the country. They are not allowed to rejoice. I quarreled with everybody. I want my brethren. In fact, I remember, which month did Abacha die? June. In May, during my convention, I was teaching a seminar. I still spoke up and told the brother. I had an argument with one brother earlier. I now spoke up during my discussion. I said, listen, guys, there is something that's forbidden for us Christians to be insulting and criticizing and cursing the head of state. I said, it's forbidden. No. I said, he's not your servant. I said, when God is tired of him, he will kill him. I said that 1st of May, like or 30th. My convention normally the weekend around 1st of May. So I said that in between 29th and 2nd of May. I can't remember. In June, Abacha died. I said to them, listen, let me tell you something, just by the way, so that you learn something. The more you pray for a man who's unrepentantly wicked, the quicker he is to the grave. I don't know what I heard I said. If you say, let's assume you have a head of state now, that is a wicked, he's just a goat head, you know, that kind of thing. Just a wicked soul. And every day, you Christians gather and say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for the protection of our head of state. We pray that God will give him wisdom to lead the... The more you say it, that prayer, when it hits him, if the prayer meets wickedness, it will make him sick. Good prayer. If you say, listen, Lord, we lift him up into your hand, your mighty hands. That's it. Wicked man in the hand, in the mighty hands of God is going to be crushed. What am I going to explain? Men ought always to do what? Pray. Not always criticize. Men ought always to pray. Not to pass judgment. Alright? On the head of state. Do you understand? When God wants to speak negative things, leave those jobs for Tunde Bakare and Co. Those are prophetic jobs that normal men are not allowed to do. No, I know what I'm saying. And they don't say such things unless they hear from heaven. That's what I was telling you earlier. That one is not necessary. Do you understand my point? That, you know, I said something. I said, those are not prophetic words. You know, like, why can our president's wife be taking permanent secretary job? It's not a prophetic word. When it is time to pronounce wicked judgment, there are a few prophets like that in the country. There are not many. There are very, very few. You know how you know them? They don't go to the government house for dinner. You know, most of our other guys, they go. Those ones, they don't go. In a country like this, you know, they go. They are nobody's friends. Normally, when the president wants to see them, he will go and see them. Or specially sent for them. You understand my point? Take a presidential jet, and they come. He said, man of God, what did the Lord say? Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. By this time tomorrow, if you don't repent, you shall likewise perish. I said, oh God, wait now. Is that what you mean? Repent of what now? The Holy Spirit said, I should tell you that you know what I'm talking about. I said, oh God, wait, there are many things to repent of. Which one are you talking about? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. All right, I've overshot my time seriously. Okay, I wasn't really lying that we should do any prayer. I just wanted to learn some things. And I hope I've learned something today.